But I have seen folks come and hear 1,000 sermons and never receive the Holy Ghost. I have seen them hear and hear and hear and hear and never do, and it profited them nothing.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But there is more to this than just hearing.
All right.
When Israel was given manna and quail by the Lord, He gave them manna in the morning and He gave them quail at night. That was what He was going to feed them with. And that's the way when they got up in the morning, they went out and breakfast was on the ground. And when they went out in the evening, dinner was on the ground. And do you know that God gave them both manna and quail from the beginning? It has been mistakenly thought by some that God gave them manna with no quail and they asked for quail. The manna was the type of the Holy Ghost. The quail was the type of the Word of God. The Bible says, they that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The manna, when it fell, they said, what is it? So they called it manna. The word manna means, what is it? And when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, they said the same thing. What meaneth this? And the Holy Ghost was a type, was typified by manna. The manna was an Old Testament type of the Holy Ghost that was to come. The quail was a type of the Word of God. Jesus, when He came, said, the time shall come and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
The spirit without the truth will produce fanaticism.
All right.
The truth without the spirit will produce formalism.
All right.
But you get them both together and it'll produce the Holy Ghost and fire.
Praise God.
Praise God. So, there's always been a tendency to do what the children of Israel did. There's always been a tendency to want to gravitate away from spirit to a more dignified, educated approach. The name for it today is humanism. They wanted to go away from the manna and they wanted all quail. And every religious movement goes through that cycle, if you'll watch it. They will start out with the old shouting Methodist. And the Quakers, you know, the Quakers, they got the wrong name. They have been so embarrassed by that name that they've now changed their name to Friends. We were attempting for a while to buy the Quaker Church in Richmond because it's the biggest Quaker church in the world, and they have about 100 members. The average age is 65 years old and over. The average member of that church is over 65. It's a dying congregation. And it's a church that with the balcony open and the wings open, it will seat 1,400 people. It is a big place. They built it originally to have the yearly national conference of the Quakers. And they all came there and they had complete eating facilities in the basement, and it was all designed for that. And so we wanted to buy it. And if we bought it, I'd made up my mind I was going to put a big sign out front, the Quakers are back. Praise the Lord. You know, if we try to be anything else than what we are, we're making a serious mistake. Why is that church a dying church? It's because they lost what gave them their momentum in the beginning.
All right.
Hallelujah. Right. Now let me tell you, all through this Bible, it was not theology that changed people. Most people come to God before they understand one God or three gods. And most people come to God before they even know how you're going to baptize them.
That's right.
Most of them come because God gets a hold of their heart. And there is something, the tears begin to run down their face, and something gets a hold of them and just pulls them right down here to this altar.
All right.
Now, I don't mean literally, but I mean they just feel like they got to go pray.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
And that's just the way God operates.
That's right.
I'm telling you that one experience is worth a thousand sermons. Oh. You can hear about great men of old and old time Pentecost and all that, and you'll leave here as dry as you came.
All right. Amen.
But you get under the spout where the glory comes out. And you forget what time it is. And you get your eyes closed. And you get to drinking from that fountain that never runs dry. Hallelujah. And after a while, the service goes on without you. You don't care. And they leave you alone and you leave them alone. But you're drinking from that well of living water. And you begin to speak in other tongues. You say, Brother Baxter, why do we see so few folks drunk on the Spirit today? Because most folks are social drinkers.
All right.
They just drink enough to be sociable. Mm-hmm. They shout about 2 minutes just so they fit in. No use y'all getting so quiet. You know how you get drunk? You keep drinking.
That's right. Amen.
I hate to ask you this, but I'm going to ask you. How many of you folks, before you got saved, you ever got drunk out in the world? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. You're saved. Now God's forgiven you. Raise your hand. Look at this. Bunch of drunks. You know what you was looking for? You was looking for what the Holy Ghost can supply. Because one writer said, be not drunk upon wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God's design to satisfy that longing inside of you is the Holy Ghost outpouring.
Amen.
I mean, on the day of Pentecost, they were with one accord in one place. They didn't care who came in the back door or who came in the side door. They were with one accord in one place. I mean, they were worshiping God. They were worshiping God. They were worshiping God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. And suddenly, brother, there came a sound from heaven. I'm telling you, you get some folks worshiping God, the power of God will start falling. You know why? Because the Bible says God inhabits place.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Right.
Y'all loosen up a little bit. I'll preach you a while.
Praise God. Oh, let me tell you tonight. I feel like we need to bust loose and let God have His way. Hey, amen. When folks come to the Pentecostal church, they don't intend to see some folks act like Presbyterians. Hey, I said when folks come to the Pentecostal church, they don't intend to see people act like Presbyterians. If they want to see Presbyterians, they go to the Presbyterian church.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's all right.
They're coming here to see something more than a dead, dry, formal program. They've heard there's still a people that shout the aisles.
Right.
They've still heard there's still a people where the ladies have long hair.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right.
Hey, let me tell you, the wave's just now coming in for Pentecost. This is no time for us to run off trying to be like somebody else.
That's right. Amen. Yes,
sir. Oh,
praise
glory to God.
You.
Hallelujah. You know, I even allow folks to shout while I'm preaching. Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's all right.
We've almost had to put up one-way signs on the walls in our church. Because, brother, I get to preaching, and that thing gets to rocking. And before long, about 25 men peel out of seat and zoom around. They go. I just stand there and just, come on. Hallelujah. Hey, let me tell you, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If you're going to get something from God, you got to get the starch out of your collar, brother.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank God.
Hallelujah. Somebody stand up and say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Smell the rest of you. Hallelujah.
All right. Amen.
I'm telling you, when folks come here, they're not looking for another theological lesson.
That's right.
And they're not coming here to see Billy Graham or Oral Roberts. They've been watching that on their TV. What they like to do when they come here, they like to feel something come over them. Hallelujah. Like a rushing mighty wind. But it won't happen unless you feel it first. Hallelujah. Pharisees got a hold of this fellow, been healed. And they begin to tell him, now look, quit telling everybody that Jesus healed you. You give glory to God. Well, they were as confused as the rest of folks are today. Jesus and God's the same thing.
Right.
They said, you give glory to God. Because this man's a sinner. I was really confused on that. That's one thing he wasn't. That was a sinner. He is the only one on the world, in the world that ever was born that wasn't a sinner. But they didn't know a sinner from a righteous person. You know why? Because they hadn't got them the spout with it. You know, you can get so formal, you lose your ability to know truth. I'm telling you, have you ever known somebody that knew the Bible backwards and forwards and didn't know beans from apple butter? I was talking to a fellow, I was down preaching for Brother Mitchell a couple of weeks ago in Columbus. And a fellow called and wanted to discuss predestination. He said it used to be Trinity Pentecost. They went into Presbyterian because they believed in predestination. And I happened to do a little studying on predestination a few years ago and wanted to talk to him a little bit. So he came out, made an appointment, came out. And he said before he came, he said, I don't want to discuss the Godhead. And I didn't blame him. If I was Trinitarian, I wouldn't want to discuss it either. Hey, brother. When you go trying to make three into one, three equal one, and one equal three, you got problems. You got big problems. So we didn't say a word about it. Honest, we didn't. But it was eating him up. It was eating him up. And before it was over with, he got to talk. He said, I do want to ask you one question. And he asked us one question. And that one question led to another hour and a half. And finally he said, well, he said, it's like this. God is three persons, but he's not three beings. Now this guy had been to college for 9 years. Been to college for 9 years and had never got a degree. And I believed it. He said to me, he said, well, God is three persons, but not three beings. I said, wait a minute. A person is a being.
All right.
I said, if you got three persons, you got three beings.
All right.
And if each of those three beings are God and they're not one and the same, then you got three gods. I don't care if you stand on your head or lay down sideways, you still got three gods.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I said, if we're not careful, we'll get so smart we'll end up stupid. Hey, let me tell you, you either believe in one, I don't know why I'm on this, I'm not supposed to be preaching on this, but I may be on the hot wire right now. Let me tell you something, you either believe in one God or you believe in three.
All right. Amen. Yes, sir.
And if you believe that there's a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost that are each separate, now we believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost around here.
That's right.
But we do not believe that there are three separate beings. We believe there's one God, just like I'm a Father, Son, and husband, He's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And His name is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And let me tell you something else. You've got to believe that to be saved. Hallelujah. I don't know why I feel the current moving on that. You say, Brother Baxter, I'm a little bit confused on this Godhead. Because a lot of people don't believe the way we do. I'll ask you one question. If you can answer this question, you'll never doubt again the truth about the Godhead. All you've got to find out is whether Jesus is a member of the Godhead or whether the Godhead is in Jesus. Now, if Jesus is a member of the Godhead, like the Trinitarian doctrine says, then there's three. But if the Godhead dwells in Jesus, then there's one God. And there happens to be a scripture that I know by heart.
found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, and it says, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily."
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Praise
God.
Oh.
Thank
God. Y'all unfold your arms. Come on, you make me nervous. Hallelujah. Hey, let me tell you something. It's revival time. Brother Kenneth, you and me is going to run around this church before this thing's over, I believe. Hallelujah. I love Brother Kenneth. I love all of you. But anyway, he had me out to dinner. All right. Some of the rest of you did too. Well, but what I'm talking about is you can get theology in your head, but there's something about it when you get under the spout. When Saul was to become the king, the prophet Samuel told him, said, "Now, Saul, you go down by a certain way, and you're going to meet some men. So they're going to have some bread and some wine and some different things. And they're going to give it to you, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to come on you, and you're going to prophesy, and you're going to be changed into another man." A spiritual experience can change you into another person. Hallelujah. I was preaching a revival years ago down in Melville, Louisiana. And good folks, I mean nice people, good people, obedient people, but some of them hadn't been in the Spirit in years. Don't get so quiet. Hey, let me tell you, some of you folks, you need to get somewhere in a prayer room and stay until you're flat on your back and you don't know what time it is. You back there, Sister Coben? You say, "Who are you preaching to?" I'm sure not preaching the ones that aren't here.
That's right.
I came up here to preach y'all for 3 nights.
Amen.
Hey, I'm expecting some things to happen around here.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
I got to preach to those folks from Melville. How they need to get renewed in the Holy Ghost. And just because they got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago was absolutely no sign whatsoever that they had it tonight.
All right.
Some folks, they think just because they bought a new car and it had 5 gallons of gas in it, they think they got a lifetime supply of gasoline when they bought that car. And they're sitting in their little Cadillac on the side and haven't been going anywhere for years and wonder why their spiritual life is stalled. And they're mashing the gas, but they still can toot their horn. Brother, you better get to a filling station.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Because though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed year by year. Don't say, "Man, that's not the way it goes." The inward man is renewed month by month. The inward man is renewed week by week. Brother, that's why I always look at the church on Sunday night. Well, cheerio for you. You need to go to church more on Sunday nights.
That's right.
I'm preaching to you on Wednesday night, so you're probably doing okay. We don't need to have less church as the day approaches. We need to assemble ourselves more as the day approaches.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Hallelujah. Because though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. I was praying earlier this year to the Lord about the key to revival. And as I was praying, the Lord just like this spoke to me daily. And I looked it up, and I realized in the second chapter of Acts, it said, "And they continued daily in the temple." You know, a lot of times we figure we'll have a little move of God and then we'll back off and rest. That's like building a fire and say, "Well, that's a good little fire we got built there. We worked hard to get that fire built. Go off and leave it. Come back Wednesday night and things going." You know why? Because we backslid between Sunday and Wednesday night.
All right.
Hey, this walk with God is a daily walk.
That's right.
Now, don't let me throw you off balance. Just stay with me. I'm just telling you, I'll make you a prediction right now. We're going to have apostolic revival on this earth one more time before Jesus comes. And when it comes, you're going to find the church full every day.
All right. Amen.
I mean, there'll be people here all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. All the time.
Do you know when the revival happened at Azusa Street, they had revival for 1,000 days solid. I mean, the church doors never closed 24 hours. The service never stopped. It ran it. It just ran. They were there praying, preaching, doing something day and night for 1,000 days. That's around 3 years. And I mean, it just, the fire never died. Did you ever work real hard to build a fire and go off and leave it and somebody too lazy to bring a log and throw it in and they let it die? That's aggravating. You know that? And God does that just about every Sunday night. Hey, I can't take time to be tactful. We only got 3 days. Now we got to cut right through this thing. We got to get on down to the root of the matter. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying is, an experience is worth 1,000 sermons. I may not preach another night. I may get some of you old rusty deacons that haven't moved a peg in 10 years. I may shout you around this church the rest of the time. I don't even know what you got at deacons, but if you do, I hope they're shouting deacons. That'll kind of give you trouble. See, when you don't know what's going on, you can preach anything you want to preach. Anybody gets mad at you, it's just because they got hit. You know the dog that always yelps in the pack is the one that gets hit?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'll tell you what. You know the devil can build up a bunch of stuff in your mind, and you can think, Brother Baxter, I'm so far from God, I'll never get back to where I used to be. That's a bunch of baloney. You can get back there before you walk leave here tonight. You hear me? I said, you can get back there before you leave here tonight. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, the day you seek me with your whole heart, the day I will be found of you. Hallelujah.
All right.
Glory to God.
Praise
God. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
Well, the feeling needs a longer cord, too.
Yeah. Praise God.
Let me tell you what, I've watched it for many years. I've seen people come in and they sit through eloquent sermons, well put together. They can sit through trained music performances, well put together. But you let the power of God begin to sprinkle down. And before long, somebody begins to weep. Somebody begins to talk in tongues. Somebody begins to shake. And all of a sudden, you'll see them start doing this. You'll see their lips start to quiver. You'll see their flesh, their face flush up. Before long, they're hitting, coming down an aisle. Let me tell you something. People are interested in an experience with God. Don't tell me about God. I hear it day and night. Every time I flip the radio on, every time I flip my TV on, it's there. Everywhere I look, there's a billboard. I hear it so much, but I've never experienced a thing. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Saul laid all night and prophesied. When he got up, he was turned into another man. Hallelujah. David went down to the battlefield one day, and all reason said he couldn't do anything. But nobody else is doing anything. Let me tell you what. There's all the time somebody saying, I wish I could do something for God. Brother, the field is wide open. There's 4.5 billion going to hell. Get with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's the aisles. There's no trespassing sign on these aisles. You say, well, nobody else is doing anything. Don't worry about anybody else.
All right.
Brother, it's time for us to launch out into the deep and let the shoreline go.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, David, he was out there having church by himself. I mean, tell you, he'd sing and shout. He got so excited sometimes he thought the mountains were shouting. I don't know whether they actually were or not. But he wrote in the book of Psalms, he said, oh, mountains, what ailed you that you jumped like rams? And oh, little hills, what got into you? You skipped like rams. Man, I think David was probably drunk. And he thought he saw the hills jumping, and he thought he saw the mountain, the little hills skipping, and he was writing all this down. He said, boy, this is something. But you know, that's what equipped him to be the king. He knew things nobody else knew. The Bible says that his counsel was taken, when he was a young man, was taken for that of an old man. He learned things. When he was under the spot where the glory came out, that the normal person, he jumped way ahead. He leapfrogged ahead because he was sitting at the feet of the master teacher.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Brother, there is spiritual impartation of knowledge. You don't have to learn everything you know. We are living in such an education-oriented society. You know, the Bible says there's a group of people that are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? All their learning is acquired through their own ability to learn.
All right.
But there is a knowledge that comes from above. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. Somebody said, I don't think you know what's right or what's wrong. That's because you're trying to get it all through your head. An experience is worth 1,000 sermons.
All right.
Hallelujah. You can be the seminary and everything else and still not know what you believe. But brother, you get under the white, hot heat of the Holy Ghost, and God can bring convictions in your mind, and God can talk to you, and you'll see scriptures in light you never saw before. Oh, hallelujah. And let me tell you something. I say it's time to get revived.
Oh, yes. Amen. Praise God.
Now, let me tell you, if you're too tired, you better take your nap tomorrow night, because some of y'all are taking it easy tonight, but tomorrow night we're working. I tell some of you, are you a little bit tired, a little bit laid back? You're coming out of that tomorrow night. You might come out before this night's over. Hey, we need to give God the best we got.
Oh, yes.
Amen. I'll tell you how to get over your tiredness, and that's to get into it.
Praise God. That's right.
This is the rest wherewith the weary is called the rest, and this is the refreshing.
Amen. Right. Praise God.
You ever heard him tell about going to old Brush Harbor meetings? Staying at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning, saying, man, I can never make that. You know what they're doing? They're tapping into some supernatural strength.
All right.
Man, you lay out on your back talking in tongues for 2 or 3 hours, that's like 8 hours sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
All right.
Say, oh, Brother Basher, try it sometime. You'll find out. And David walked down through there.
Okay.
And he said, what's going on right here? Oh, David, shut up. It's none of your business. Just, you know, settle down and be normal. You know, God hates folks that are average.
All right.
That's the worst of the best and the best of the worst. That's average. That's lukewarm.
All right.
He said, get hot, get cold, do something.
All right.
Hallelujah. There's some folks can't serve God but one way, and that's red hot. As soon as they try doing lukewarm, they haven't got the physical makeup for it. They flip out. And David went down through there and he said, what's going on? I said, nothing. He said, what's that guy screaming about? What are you guys doing hiding in your foxholes? I thought we were going to fight. David, shut up, you punk. I know what you're down here for, nosing around. I said, I just came down to bring you something to eat. But I'll tell you what, nobody else goes to fight him, I will.
All right.
If nobody else feels like worshiping God, I will. If somebody needs to be prayed through the Holy Ghost, nobody else will do it, I'll do it.
Amen.
Why wait on somebody else? Grab the bull by the horse. Do something about it. Don't let your life get to be a tangled mess. Come kick it out of there and say, this is going to change.
Oh, yes. Amen. Right.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He got down there, and they all start telling him why he couldn't. Now, look, you're too young. Besides that, you're not tall enough. Besides that, you're too skinny. Beside that, you've never fought before, and da 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 da. All the experts were telling him why they couldn't. David said, well, everything you say makes sense, but.
All right.
Let me tell you about an experience.
Amen.
I was out one day, strumming my heart, patting my foot, having a Holy Ghost time. And I looked up, and over there on the edge of the flock was a lion. He said, man, before I realized what I was doing, before I had time to stop and analyze, now, is this God, or is this me, or is this crowd manipulation by the preacher, or what is this, you know? Before I had time to go through all that, I just...
Praise God.
Now, y'all better watch about saying amen. Because I'm planning on y'all doing something about this.
All right. Praise you.
Hallelujah. Because I can preach my lungs out, and if y'all don't do anything about it, I just waste it.
All right. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. That's another time, a great old big 9-foot grizzly bear came into the flock and took one of my little lambs. And said, I just ran him as though he was a little old kid goat.
All right.
And he said, that uncircumcised Philistine will be just like. See, how's it going to work? Don't worry about how it works. He went down and got him some rocks and had his slingshot on his hip pocket. God don't need fancy things, but he does need somebody that's had an experience.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Right.
You know, if you're an employer, you understand why a lot of times you look at the one ads and it says experience only, need apply. Experience is worth a lot of money.
Right.
And then it's something about folks that are experienced in the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Hey, let me tell you something. I want to say something to you tonight. I hope nobody needs this, but in case you do, if anything's tying you up spiritually, it's not of God.
That's right.
You say, well, I don't believe this or I don't agree with this. Anything that's tying you up spiritually, sapping your victory, is not of God. It's a diversionary tactic of the devil.
That's right.
You can even be right, and the devil can use right things against you to mess you up.
Amen.
What you need to do is let God fight your battles, and you get in and do what you're supposed to do. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm saying. I got a feeling I'm saying something here. Praise God. I'm telling you, you can get... I've pastored now for 11 years, and I've watched people be affected by the diversionary tactics of the devil. Let me tell you what. God is the head of His church.
Amen. Right.
I might as well preach on it. I might as well preach on this while I'm here. You know, a lot of saints destroy their soul when they get the feeling that they need, that they are assigned to be the pastor's supervisor. Now, everybody get real quiet. That's the way I like you when I'm talking like this. So I want you to hear everything I'm saying. Do you know that Brother Fielder does not have a supervisor in this church?
Right.
Furthermore, he is not employed. And he could use real fire. If he was there. And every under shepherd has always got to be aware of that. And I think we are aware of that.
Right.
You say, well, I just don't think God can do this. Let me tell you what, God can do anything.
That's right.
If the church isn't going exactly the way you want it to go, that's what God gave you those bony things called knees for. Get on them. You say, well, I prayed and prayed, don't do any good. And apparently you can't get your prayers through. There must be something wrong with you. Oh, I'm preaching good now.
All right.
We'll shout a little later. Right now I'm just preaching good. But I'm telling you, that's something you got to get straight or your church will never fly.
That's right.
Because if you're all the time there second guessing, going to say, do I agree with this sermon or do I agree with part of it or half of it or all of it? Hey, get that junk out of your mind. Open your mouth like a baby bird and start eating. Hallelujah. Because the church is an army. And God's the commander-in-chief and the pastor is the local commander. And when the pastor says, how do you say that? Left march. Is that what he said? Is that what you do? I've never been in the army. You go, sir. Old Brother Shear, pastors in Dayton, told me he used to be in the Marines. That's the best unit to be in. And he said one day they were marching down in formation along this canal, and there was some rowing teams that were practicing their racing over in canoes and these long, whatever they use, boats to race in. And he was fascinated by it. So he's marching along. He's rolling his eyes watching them, you see. And he's watching this, but he's marching. And all of a sudden, the old sergeant says, left march.
Brother Sherry, because he wasn't paying attention, went right. And everybody else went left, and he started crashing into them. The old sergeant called a halt. He brought Brother Shear up the front. He says, "Well, we got a mama's boy with us. He don't know left from right." And had this helmet. He had this helmet on. And this sergeant had a baton or some kind of a club. And he had hit him over the head. He'd say, "Now, Shear here doesn't know left from right." Bang! And there was a little sharp deal on that helmet, and every time he hit it, it'd dig into Brother Shear's skull. And the blood started trickling down, but of course he was just standing there. I think he knew better than do anything else. Some of y'all think you got it rough. You haven't got nothing. He just stood there. But he said, "I promise you, next time he said left, I went left." Praise the Lord. And in the kingdom of God, if we're going to do the work of God these last days, we're going to have a church that's coordinated.
All right. Amen.
You can't have part going left and part going right and part going straight and everybody doing their own thing.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what some of y'all are thinking. I guess it's okay.
All right.
Praise God. Let me tell you what. It's God's responsibility to keep the church on course.
That's right.
And if he can't do it, who in the world do you think you are? You know something? I'll tell you right now. He's already made some mistakes passing this church, and he's going to make some more. You better be glad. If he is perfect, you guys couldn't stand him. You know the Bible even says that? The Bible says that God hath chosen to take from among men priests who are compassionate about infirmity so they might know how to have compassion on them that are weak and out of the way. Brother, if he never had a problem, if he never had to cope with the things of life that you have to cope with, he couldn't minister to you.
All right.
He couldn't have compassion on you.
That's right.
But God chose to put imperfect men in his pulpits. But he's still the pastor. Well, I don't know how I got on this. But I preach by radar sometimes. I'm telling you, it's time for God's church to mobilize. Brother, this church needs to get its marching orders.
Oh, yeah.
You know what you ought to do sometime? I'm sorry, I can't get off this. You know what you ought to do sometime? You ought to look up murmuring. You know the greatest sin of Israel was murmuring?
All right.
Well, I looked up that little word one day, and I was shocked. It meant expressing dissent. It meant whispering. It meant giving an opposing opinion. Brother, it's quiet in here. But you know, in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 10, the Apostle Paul spent a lot of time. He said, all these things happened to the children of Israel for us. We're the heirs of the kingdom. And he said, these things all happened that we should not murmur as they murmured.
All right.
Amen. Brother, you get a bunch of guys that haven't prayed in weeks, and they're all murmuring, I don't like. You say, "I'll tell you, I could do a better job of leading the service. I could do this. I could do that." There's a scripture in the Bible that says a man's gift makes room for him. Now, I may be totally out of my gourd preaching this right now, but I feel like preaching. I'm telling you what you need to do. You need to get where you ought to be with God. God might even make you the pastor if he saw fit. But he hadn't seen fit yet. I don't know what's so funny, Brother Crawford, but I'm Hey, let me tell you something. God's going to have a church.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
But it's important that you keep your eyes on Him. You can get yourself fouled up so fouled up spiritually that when the fire hits, you never feel. You ever know what a fouled up spark plug will do? The thing won't fire because the fire goes down the wrong way. Some people's shooting out the wrong fire. That's right. I've seen some folks, they get so... I saw one man in our church in Richmond. He got hooked on the issue of women preachers. He didn't believe you ought to have women preachers. And he kept believing that and believing that and believing that. And I never preached that you should have women preachers. But he was just adamant about it. And finally, I went to him one day. I'd had about enough. I said, now look here, little leg. I said, I've been here 4 or 5 years, and all I've heard from you is women preachers, women preachers, women preachers. How many women preachers have preached in this church since I became the pastor? He said, well, none. I said, then what's your problem? I said, the devil's just using this to mess you up.
All right.
Today, he's backslid and an alcoholic. Because he got his eyes on something else.
All right.
Let me tell you what. You better leave some things in the hands of God.
Right.
Because you didn't do it and you can't undo it. It's God's responsibility. And if you don't leave in the hands of God, it's going to destroy you.
Amen.
But if you put your eyes right on Him and say, Lord, here I go. I'm going to work. I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness. I'm going to do everything I can.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it'll be shocking what God will do for you. Oh, what traps we fall in because we don't have enough faith to believe that God answers prayer.
Right.
And let me tell you, you should pray for your pastor every day without fail. Let me tell you something. When they have their meetings in hell and discuss Portage, Indiana, this guy right here is on the top of the list. Now, that's not a very comforting thought, but it's the truth. And there will be more pressures and demons come against him than anybody else. And he ought to be on the top of your prayer list every day. Well, let me get off this. How do I? Got to cross the bridge, can't get back. But I'll tell you what, that's the secret of serving God. You know, I told you I couldn't get back. You know, Uzzah. Oh, Uzzah. He's walking along there. And he's following the ark. Israel had just gotten the ark from the Philistines. And the Philistines were carrying it on a cart. Because they didn't know anything about the Bible, God. So when Israel got it back, they do just what we do sometimes. They took the worldly methods and tried to bring them into church. And they kept on carrying that thing on the cart. Well, they kept hitting ruts in the road. It kept hitting. And Uzzah, he kept getting closer because he's worried about that ark. I have seen people that were good people, meant well. I've seen them get killed spiritually because they got too close.
All right.
There was a commandment from God that only the Levites bear that ark. Now, they were doing it wrong. They were supposed to put staves through the rings and carry it on their shoulders. They were doing it wrong. But that didn't give us any right to touch it.
That's right.
And when that thing hit an extra deep chuck hole, it started to tip, he thought, and he reached out and to grab it and steady it. Well-intentioned. And God killed him. And it upset King David because God made a breach of Uzzah that day. But God did that for a purpose. First of all, God had told them there's supposed to be so many paces between the ark and the Levites and the rest of the folks. And I think it was about 2 or 3 city blocks. If he'd have been doing that part of the commandment, he'd have never touched that ark. He would have been close enough to it. I want to say something to you. I feel this in my soul. I wouldn't be dabbling with it. You keep a certain distance between you and that ark. You ought to keep a certain difference. This is a good, kind man. But if you're not careful, that kindness will cause you to tread where you shouldn't tread.
All right.
I told you I'll be gone. I've got two more nights after tonight. And I don't have to be here. I got a church that acts like they love me, whether they do or not. They're acting like it. But if you're not careful, you can say, well, you know, old Jim does this and old Jim does that. I hope you don't do that, even to your wife in the bedroom. You don't. One time years ago, Joplin, Missouri, one of the saints was talking about Dad and said, well, Baxter does this, and Dad overheard him. He said, I'm Brother Baxter. Now, let me tell you, you say, well, that's foolishness. No, it's not. There is an irreverence in this world. And if you let irreverence get in you, it'll mess your whole character up. There are some things you don't do. There are some things you don't talk about. If you'll be reverent, your kids will reverence you. Praise the Lord. And you know, if you get under the spout where the glory comes out, the Holy Ghost will teach you a lot of these things. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, speak evil of no man. And to illustrate it, the Bible even says that Michael, when disputing with the ark, with the devil over the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but merely said, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. If you're not careful, you can lose your Holy Ghost just driving about the mayor. It's political time. Some folks talk about the president like a dog. Now Reagan or Mondale, either one's got the answers, because Jesus Christ is the answer.
That's right.
I do think God may work through men at times. I think we got enough sense to see when he is and when he's not.
All right.
Praise the Lord. But if you want to please God, there's an innocence there that God ordained for us to have. Adam and Eve had it, and they lost it. You ever hear somebody say, well, you know, the first 6 months I was saved in the church, I thought everybody was an angel. And then you hear somebody say, ha, but I found that different. That's when they backslid. Because to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled, there's nothing pure. The Bible says it's better to dwell in a cave than to dwell in a large house with a nagging woman, a contentious woman. Hey, I've seen people, you couldn't do anything to please them. Everything anybody did was wrong. The color of the carpet was wrong, and the walls were wrong. If I'd have been done it, I'd have done it this way, and da 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 da. The youth leader, he don't know what he's doing, and this don't know what they're doing. The Sunday school class is horrible, and I'll tell you what, da da. Let me tell you something. If you know how to do it, keep doing it. I'm telling you. A lot of folks get hung up on criticizing everybody else and never do anything themselves. You just get out there and let God make you a leader. You may be right on some things. I've seen some people with great abilities. They would never turn a tap because they're so busy criticizing everybody else. And if they would have got busy, that God would probably make them the leader of the whole thing because they had the ability. But they're still busy criticizing everybody. Well, done quit preaching and went to meddling. So I'll tell you what, you'll come in here and not